Okay, you have to take care of the tax. So you got to watch out for all these electronics and electricity. So we're good to go? Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I'm really grateful to get to be with you all. And I'd like to say Happy New Year. And I said Happy New Year to Brother Terry this morning in Hebrew, in the wrong way. So it's Shana Tova. Shana Tova, which is Happy New Year. So we are starting out on a new year, and I'd like to share some thoughts with you about newness. But let's bow for prayer. Dear Father, we come before you this morning. Father, thank you for every person that's here today. Thank you for every person that has come with a hunger and a desire for you today, a hunger and a desire for your word. Father, I pray that you would use the Word of God to feed the hearts and the minds and the lives of every person that's here today to meet whatever the need is today. Father, we may have some folks here today that have not been saved, and you want to call them to salvation today. We know the Scripture tells us that God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we pray, Father, that if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ, that today would be the day that they would be drawn to Him, that they would trust Jesus as their Savior. And Father, also, your folks, your people that are here today that have trusted you and have been saved and born again. And Father, I pray, Father, that you would really feed their hearts and minds through your word today. We look to you to come and be our instructor, our preacher this morning. Father, as the old song says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So we ask that your Spirit would come and instruct us today through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we need the Bible. We must have the Bible. Because Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we must have faith. You know, the book of Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without that attitude of complete dependence on the Lord to do what He said He was going to do, without that attitude of complete confidence in Him, that it's impossible to please Him. We might work really hard, we might try to do a lot of things, but if we're not relying on the Lord, then we're not pleasing to Him. We're not pleasing to Him. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But where does faith come from? Where does faith come from? Does faith come by, you know, a trip down memory lane to think, well, you know, I used to do this, and I did that, and I had that experience and this experience, and everything felt so good back in those days, but now I just don't have that feeling anymore, and I just don't know. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to go to the Word of God. If we're going to live a life that truly pleases the Lord, we have to live a life that's based on God's Word and based on a correct understanding and application of God's Word. So that's why as I come to you this morning, I have God's Word that I want to share with you. And I have God's Word that I want to ask you to apply to your life today, because I want you to have faith. I want you to have faith in what God has said so that you can live and think and act in such a way that really pleases Him. And so that you can be blessable. So that the Lord can be a blessing to you and make you a blessing to other people. So that's why we're coming to God's Word. And you know what? I think you go to God's Word every time you come together in this house. Isn't that true? And the reason is that's what we need to live the way that God wants us to live. We've got to hear from the Lord. Well, it's the new year. Come with me. Now, I'm going to give you a heads up. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. We're going to look at lots of scriptures today, so be ready for that. Now, let's begin by going to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21. God likes new things. And the Lord likes to make things new. And He tells us here in the book of Revelation 21, here we are. The Lord has given to John His message about what the Lord is going to do, so that people will know what God's plan is and what God's agenda is for wrapping up everything and bringing things to an end. And we've come here to the book of Revelation chapter 21. The Lord has poured out His judgment on this earth where we are today. And this earth that we're on today, at this point in the book of Revelation, has vanished. It says, heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And then the Lord made a new heaven and a new earth. And then He tells us here, Revelation 21, verse 5. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. He's finished. He's done His great work to redeem man, His great work to pay the penalty for man, and to make it possible for a man or a woman or a boy or a girl to come to Christ and trust Christ and be forgiven. And He has done the work of carrying the gospel around the world so that people could be saved. And he's finished with this world now. He has called out and redeemed those that would come to God through Christ. And now it's done. It's over. Now we're going to go into the eternal state. But I want you to notice that as a prelude to that, He says this, behold, I make all things new. And the time is coming when God will make everything new. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. But we do have something new. We have a new year. We have a new year upon us, and we're just a few days into that new year. And that was the Lord's plan. It was the Lord's plan that we would have new years. And that the book of Genesis tells us that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, there way back in the very beginning, back there on the fourth day of creation, the Lord said this, verse 4, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Okay, we're talking about the sun, moon, and stars. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. God intended that there would be years, that we would have years would come and years would go, and we are now in a new year. So we're going to make one more trip around the sun. And of course, that's what the years are about, isn't it? We start at a particular point. 365 and a quarter days later, we're back to that point, and then we're going to start over again. Well, we've just started over again. But you know, there's something more important than just making one more trip around the sun. There's something more important than just adding more days to our life, and that is to have a spiritual renewal. Am I doing something wrong here, Brother Bill? Okay, so we're okay? Okay. All right, very good, very good. But even more important than the problem that we might be having with the speaker or the amplifier is we need spiritual renewal. That's more important than just the fact that we're having a new year. We need spiritual renewal. And the first thing I'd like to ask you is, have you been renewed spiritually? And what I'm asking you by that question is, have you become a new creature in Christ Jesus? Or are you just the same old person you've always been? You were born one day and grew up, and eventually, as you got a little bit older, you found that you were disobeying God, doing things that were contrary to God, and felt separated from God, felt guilty, and just were set to just go ahead and go my own way. And just that's just the way that you've been and have always been that way. Maybe been to church all your life, but have never been made a new creature. As I heard it said once, just because a mouse is in a cookie jar doesn't make it a cookie. And just because somebody's in church doesn't mean that they're a born-again person. It just means that they happen to be in a place where there are some cookies, but they may actually be a mouse. You know, they may actually have never been changed and never been born again. But that's really the most important thing that you can do in your life, is to make sure that you've been born again. Again, we're going to go to the scripture, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. What matters is not circumcision. Now, circumcision is nothing more than the initiation rite into the Jewish religion. If somebody were going to become a Jew back in the day, or even today, if someone is living their life and they think, I want to get right with God, and I'm going to get right with God by obeying His commandments. Well, and if they're going to get right with God by obeying His commandments as found in the covenant that God made with Moses and the children of Israel, the first step that they have to do is to become circumcised, and then they're good to go to try to get to heaven by keeping the commandments. And of course, that's a colossal failure, no matter who tries to do it, because we're still sinners. And that's why circumcision or obedience to commandments doesn't mean anything. But what means something is a new creature. To be a new creature, that's what matters. We're talking about a significant change. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. See, we need to become that new creature. And that's more important than a new year. That's infinitely more important than a new year, is to become a new creature. I want to ask you to come with me to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, Jesus has a discussion here with a very religious man, a very good man, a very respected and esteemed man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was respected by people as a good man. He was a counselor. That means that he was one of the men that sat on the council of the Jewish Sanhedrin. He was a ruler of the Jews. And Nicodemus came to Jesus one night and told him, Rabbi, we know that you came from God, because nobody can do these miracles that you're doing unless God is with him. And Jesus said, Jesus just cut to the chase with this good man. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You might see the miracles. You might recognize that Jesus is from God, that He is the Messiah. But if you're not born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. You're not personally going to have a part in the kingdom of God. You're not personally going to experience the kingdom of God, except a man be born again. Well, what about you and me? Was it essential for you to be born again? I know that we're looking forward to seeing the kingdom of God. We're looking forward to seeing that new heaven and that new earth that John talked about in the book of Revelation there. But we're not going to see it if we haven't been born again. If we haven't had that major transformation, that major change in our life, it's not going to happen. Nicodemus saith to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, that's the only birth that Nicodemus knew about. Nicodemus knew that he had been born, come out of his mother's womb, and of course her water broke, and boosh, out came the baby, and there was Nicodemus, and now he's all grown. And Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus scratching his head, how am I going to do that? And then Jesus explained to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And see, in just a few weeks, this dear lady over here is going to have a water birth. Right? The water's going to come out. And we hope the baby comes right after. Sometimes they stay there for a little while. That's, again, I've never had one, but I've heard about things like that. So whenever the Lord told Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We do have to have that first birth, and the second birth is the spiritual birth. And then he tells us in verse 6 to explain, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So that which is born of the water is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we were born the first time physically, but we need a spiritual birth. We must have a spiritual birth if we're going to see the kingdom of God. There has to be a change. We must be born again. And the reason that we must be born again is that there's something wrong with us at our physical birth. We have a birth defect. And that birth defect that we have when we're born the first time is we have a tendency, an urge, to be selfish. It just comes out all the time, from the time that we're a baby. If I want something, I want it. You know, and it's like, and they come out that way. And eventually, we can train our children to be a little bit more courteous and more kind and exercise some self-control. But those selfish urges are still there, aren't they? That desire for comfort, that desire for pleasure, that desire to get what I want is there. And that desire, that urge that's in us causes us to do specific transgressions against God, like telling lies, stealing things, disobeying our parents, and then growing up and disobeying other legitimate authorities in our life, and disobeying God. And as long as that problem, that sin, is unresolved in us, we're not qualified to enter the kingdom of God. We're bringing something that is selfish and wicked and defiled, and we want to put that into God's kingdom, and God cannot tolerate that. God is love. God is pure. God is holy. God is separated from sin. He's righteous. He can't put up with that kind of thing, because that kind of attitude and that way of thinking is self-destructive, and it destroys other people, and it's an affront and an insult to God. And anybody that is that way is not going to enter the kingdom of God. Only those that have a new birth. Now, this new birth is not a new physical birth. No, we don't go into our mother's womb again to be born. And no, we don't go into the baptistry and come out all wet and think, I've had the new birth. No, he's not talking about another birth of water. We have to have a birth of the Spirit. We have to have a birth of the Spirit. And it's those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that are born of God. Notice what he says here. Let's continue. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So this spiritual birth is an invisible birth. You see the effects of it, but you don't see an outward physical change on the person, but you do see that there is something different. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? And then Jesus told him, well, if we tell you earthly things and you don't know about it, how will you believe if we tell you heavenly things? And then in verse 14 he says, and he's answering Nicodemus's question, how can these things be? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the spiritual life that we're talking about is eternal life. You know, when we're born the first time, we're alive. You know, our birth gives us a life. But for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth in him, verse 13, should not perish, but have eternal life. Those who believe in Christ receive a spiritual birth, and their spiritual life will never end, because that spiritual life qualifies them for the kingdom of God, because they're not born of the first Adam, they're born of the last Adam, and they have the characteristics of Christ, the last Adam. So what I'd like to ask you to begin with is, have you become a new creature in Christ? Do you know what it means from personal experience that you trusted in Christ as your personal Savior and something changed? Something changed. Suddenly, within you, there was the desire to please God. There's the desire for the things of God. There's a desire for the Word of God. There's a desire to be around the people of God. If there hasn't been a change like that, then you haven't been born again. If you're born again, something changes on the inside. It's a spiritual change. Now we've really got an issue, because something is different on the inside, but we're still the same on the outside. We still have the flesh that we were born with the first time, that whenever we were born the first time, born of the flesh. But whenever we're born of the Spirit, now we've got the conflict between the inner man and the outer man. But because something happened, now we can have a new attitude. So I want to ask you this. Are you, as a new creature in Christ, are you walking or living in a new attitude? Our attitude needs to change. And what I'm talking about is our attitude, our way of thinking. We don't want to have stinking thinking anymore. We want to have a change in the way we think, a change in our perspective, especially when it comes to the things of God and comes to doing what God wants us to do. Oh, you know, come with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. You know, kids grow up in church. A lot of kids grow up in church, and they haven't been saved, but they grow up in church, and they learn to watch their P's and Q's. You know, they learn just the right kind of things that they're supposed to do. And they're walking around trying to do the right thing and struggling to do the right thing. You know, feeling guilty, feeling like a failure, and then, you know, just getting up and trying again to behave in such a way that they please everybody, a way that they please God, but they've never been saved. But after we trust Christ as our Savior, we can serve the Lord with a new heart. We can serve the Lord with a new attitude. Paul talks about it here in Romans chapter 7, verse 6. He says in verse 5, when we were in the flesh, that is, whenever we were categorized before God as being people that were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in us, to work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now, we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Whenever we come to Christ and Christ resolves our issue to bring us to salvation, we can serve the Lord now with a new attitude. Not in the oldness of just trying to obey commandments, but in newness of spirit. There is a new change there. And the reason for that is that the Lord has changed us. So I've got another question for you. Do you have daily renewal? Did you know, as a believer in Christ, we need to be renewed every day? Because every day we're still carrying around this body with sin in the flesh. Paul talks about that in Romans 7. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, he says there. So we're still carrying around this body of flesh, and we need to be renewed spiritually every day. If we're not renewed spiritually every day, we'll find that sinfulness and that selfishness of the flesh creeping more and more and taking more and more control of our thoughts, our attitudes, our actions. We need that spiritual renewal every day. Did you know the Scripture says that your inner man is renewed every day? That part of you that has been born again experiences a spiritual refreshing, a spiritual renewal every day. I'd like you to see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says this, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The inward man is renewed day by day. The Lord gives a spiritual refreshing. Our outer man does become old, becomes tired. I'm seeing some gray-headed folks here, and we know what that's talking about. We know what that's talking about. Just to get out of bed and get moving is almost about all that we feel like we can accomplish some days. You know, just because the vim, vigor, and vitality is just not there as it used to be. And we find that this outward man is wearing out. But that inward man in Christ is new every day because he has the strength of Christ. I'd like to ask you to come with me to Lamentations. How do we connect with that renewal? How do we take advantage of that spiritual renewal, that spiritual refreshing that is available to us in Christ, in our inward man every day? Well, I'd like to ask you to come with me again to Lamentations. Now, Lamentations is there between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It's just a few chapters there. Lamentations chapter 3. Of course, a lamentation is a sad song. And this is Jeremiah's sad song about the destruction of Jerusalem. But Jeremiah, in the middle of this sad song about Jerusalem, he's got a word of hope here. And that's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 says this, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." What is new every morning? His mercies and His compassions. You can have spiritual renewal. You can be refreshed in the Lord every day. Not because you have grit and determination that I'm going to be triumphant. You know, not because of your personal strength and integrity. It's because the Lord has compassion on you and me every day. He has mercies extended toward us every day. And we need those every day, don't we? We fall short every day of being the Christian that the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be, as He says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're representatives of Christ. And yet we have horrible thoughts. We say things that we regret. We do things that we realize are a waste of time. We could have done better. And we have those faults and failings before the Lord every day. But our hope is, as He says here verse 21, "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope." I have confidence about now, and I have confidence about the future in my personal walk with God, because His mercies are new every day. And His compassions toward me are new every day. I don't have to wait for some big event to change and get on the right track. I can have a big event with God every day and stay on the right track with the Lord every day, because His mercies are new every day. And that's how we serve the Lord. Not because we're so great, but because He's so great. One of the problems that we find that we have, though, is baggage. Baggage. When you came to Christ, did you have baggage? And what I mean by baggage is some bad habits. Or, to use that term again, some stinking thinking. You know, maybe you had certain things happen to you in your life. You know, we live in a sinful world. People do sinful things to each other. Little children are treated sinfully, and they're treated evilly. And those people who do those evil things did something evil, and the adults can look at what that person did and say, "That was just so evil. How could they treat a child that way?" But then look at the child. The child has the wound of that mistreatment, whatever it is. whether it's emotional or sexual or just being abandoned or whatever it is. And I think all of us in here could probably go back in memory lane and think of things that happened to us that were horrible, that marked us, and that developed in us ways of thinking. I know one of the common ways of thinking of people that have been misused is, this isn't happening to me again. I'm in control. Nobody's taking control of me. I'm in charge around here. And they carry that attitude in every relationship, everywhere they go, that attitude that I can't trust anybody. I have to make all the decisions here. And that's a wound. That's a wound. That is a disease. That is not healthy thinking. That is not right thinking. That is the kind of thinking that comes from a pain and comes from, in a sense, comes from a disease. But I want you to know, based on the Word of God, the Lord can heal that. And the Lord can change that. He can change that thinking. He can change that attitude. And he can make us into a spiritually healthy person. Come with me to the book of Luke chapter 4. This goes right to the heart of what the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. He didn't come merely to save us from eternal damnation, although that would be enough, wouldn't it? But he also came to change our life that we live here and now. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, we have the account of how after Jesus was baptized and publicly acknowledged by God the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Then he went and did battle with Satan in the wilderness, and he overcame all of Satan's temptations that Adam and Eve couldn't overcome. Christ overcame them. And then he began to go about his ministry, and he went to his hometown, and he went to the synagogue, and they gave to him the book, because that's what they did in the synagogue, was they read the book of the law. And it says here in verse 16, "He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Who was the one that preached the gospel to the poor, heals the brokenhearted, preaches deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and liberty to them that are bruised? It's the Lord Jesus. Has he finished doing that? He still does that. He still does that. You know, a week or two ago, we had Christmas, didn't we? That's the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And of course, God is the one who started this whole tradition of giving gifts on Christmas, didn't he? Because what happened on Christmas is that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Isaiah 9:6 says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." He is, and Jesus Christ is the gift that keeps on giving. He is the real gift that keeps on giving. We don't get it all the moment that we're saved. The Lord continues to give us in our life that renewal, that healing, that changing that we need. We don't have to be the same person tomorrow that we were today. There's going to be another renewal, and that's this. The Lord's going to give us a new body. When we're born the first time, We receive the body there through that water birth. When we're born the second time, we have a spiritual birth, but there's going to be a time that the Lord is going to give us a new body. A new body. We're not stuck with this body for eternity. Praise the Lord. He's going to give us another one. I want to ask you to come with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. He says, "Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working," or according to the power, "whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself." See, the Lord loves making things new. He loves to make things new. And 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44 tells us there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We're in the natural body now, but at the resurrection we're going to receive a spiritual body like Christ's body. Now think about Christ's body for just a minute. He came up from the grave, right? And then He appeared. Let's just take His appearance to the disciples in the room. So there the disciples are. They've got the doors locked because they were afraid they were going to be arrested and crucified. So they're locked up in the room there. And Jesus stood in the midst of them. He didn't even have to open the door. And then He said, "God said to eat." And he ate with them. I know this will do just a little heavenly surmising here, but do y'all remember the account of how Jesus the multitude was there, and the disciples said, "Lord, where are we going to get food to feed all these people?" And the Lord said, "Well, You feed them." And they said, "Well, all we have is five loaves and a few fishes." And then the Lord gave thanks for them. And then what did He do? He multiplied. He created fish. Okay. Well, if the Lord created fish, He can surely create barbecue. You know, bacon, coffee, you know, all those wonderful, wonderful things. Well, the Scripture says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man." So, but in that, we'll have a spiritual body, but that spiritual body doesn't just mean we'll just sort of be floating around on a cloud harping. Jesus walked around on the earth. He talked with people. He ate with people. He did things with them. So that new body that we're going to have, the best thing about it is there's not going to be any sin in it. All of that, the Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the creature itself shall be released from bondage to experience the liberty of the sons of God. The creature there is our body. Again, the Lord loves renewal. The Lord loves renewal. Well, I'd like to close our time together here today by just taking a close look at a passage that talks about the experience of renewed people. So would you come with me to Psalm number 84? Psalm 84, we're just going to walk through this psalm and see the experience of a person who's focused on the Lord. A person that's focused on his walk and his experience with God. Notice how it begins here. "How amiable are Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Amiable, lovely, wonderful, pleasant are Thy tabernacles, the dwelling place of God. "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." For the courts of the Lord. That's the temple, isn't it? That's the court, the outer courtyard, and then the holy place, and the most holy place inside the temple itself. "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, a swallow, a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even Thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Yeah, the birds have found that a pleasant place to build their nest is in God's house. May the Lord make us to be as smart as birds. "Blessed are they that dwell in Thy house. They will still be praising Thee." What is God's house today? Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul says, "These things have I written unto you that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The temple, the Jewish temple, is gone. But Jesus established a new house of God. And that new house of God is not even this building. I was just noticing when I came in this morning, this is really a beautiful church. It's really a very pleasant and a beautiful place. But even more beautiful than the architectural structure that's here is the people. That's the house of God, is you all. So as you meet together here, that's what we're talking about. Blessed is and blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They shall still be praising thee. Those that remain in connection with the house of God will continue to praise the Lord. That's why we have the church, so that we can, it provides spiritual renewal, spiritual refreshing for us, so that we can continue to praise and honor the Lord with our life. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Those men are blessed whose ways are in their heart. You don't have to give them a list of rules and regulations. They know because they've been born again. They know because they have the Spirit of God in them. Their way is within. They have the voice of God within them to direct them. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca means weeping, maketh it a well, and rain also filleth the pools. Now look at verse 7. What do they do? Those whose strength is in the Lord, those who dwell in thy house, they go from strength to strength. They have strength today, and then they have strength tomorrow, and they go from that strength to that strength. Their strength is renewed day by day because they're in the place. They're in the setting. They're in the place of provision of the Lord to renew and refresh us. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So if we're walking with the Lord, we're going to find the good things that we need to serve and walk with him. And then verse 12, notice that promise. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. So all these new things, whether it's the new year or the new season or all of these new things, are just a picture of the most important renewal, and that is that we have a new birth. And for those of us that have had the new birth, we need to be renewed every day in our walk with the Lord, to be in contact with Him, to receive His Word, to read the Bible, to go to His house, and be renewed in the presence of the Lord with our brothers and sisters in Christ, praising Him. So my big question before we go is this. Have you been born again? I know you're in the new year, but have you had the new birth? Have you had that new birth? If you haven't, you can come to Christ today and confess your need and accept His promise, where the Lord said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved," because Jesus paid the price for us so we could be forgiven and be reconciled to God. But Christian, are you being renewed day by day? Well, if you haven't been, you can start now, because the Scripture tells us His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning, and the Lord is ready to renew you and renew your heart and your walk with Him. Would you all stand?